terrorists declare war on the United States.
Military officials here at the Pentagon are confirming that seven are dead. At
least. Armored vehicle stands guard.
Downtown New York in chaos.
The 7.0 quake was centered roughly 10 miles from the capital city.
We want the public to feel safe.
Thousands likely dead.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast. Things that never change. God and His Word. Join Pastor Randy Reams as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
For disqualifier, I need to do this. This is part two before you at part two of last week's message. By radio, those are listening by radio, it would be part three, because one message takes up two radio shows. Part three. Also, this disclaimer. I am typically not a topical preacher. I usually am taking the text and sort of going from one verse to the next verse to the next verse, okay, and taking a look at it that way. But because as we come to this section of Joshua, here we talked about no slides this week. I'm sorry, that'll throw you off, but there's no archaeological stuff to show you this week either. The next few chapters go into just list all the cities that are conquered and begins to wrap up. I think it's verse 13 or chapter 13 that says, and Joshua was well advanced in years. You know, sort of like we say Glenn, okay? Well advanced. It's getting to the end of his life. And one of the things that stands out in his life is perseverance. You could even see it with Moses. Moses would go up under the mountain. Joshua would go halfway and wait. I'm not good at waiting. Ask my wife. She's great at it. She sits through piano lessons and tennis lessons and just sits. I'm not so good at it. Okay, but this idea of perseverance was something that dominates. We think of Joshua as a conqueror. But again, he had to keep on fighting. So we're basing here in this text of Joshua chapter 11 and verse 15. You don't have to stand because I'm not reading a lot, just this passage. Just as the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua. Did you catch that? Joshua didn't even get it firsthand. He didn't see a burning bush, okay? God didn't speak to him face to face, as it says of Moses, okay? And so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all the Lord had commanded Moses.
What gives you right to tell me what to do?
I don't see him saying that to Moses. That's an American thing, I think. Okay. And then in verse 18, we find out that he waged war for a long time. Based upon his ages, we discover that to be 7 years, okay? And so last week we began the first part of this journey. There are two aspects of this message I want to... What causes the lack of perseverance or quitting or giving up or surrender? Why do we do that? And again, I said surrender doesn't mean join the other side. It just means stop fighting, okay? And if I might, I don't mean to offend anybody from France or Paris. I don't mean it that way. But when France capitulated, surrendered to Hitler, there are those who didn't fight. The fight was over now, we surrender. But then there, we call it the underground, right, if you know anything. They got the resistance that kept fighting. I want to be the resistance. I don't care who takes over. I want to be the resistance. I don't want to be the one who says, well, we surrender. By the way, anybody know how the beaches of Normandy got named Normandy? Vikings, that's the word Norma, it's not a French word. The Vikings would come down, land there, and raid the towns and villages, including Paris. So then what? They did a Chamberlain. They gave land for peace. And they says, you can have the beaches. You can come here and fish and do all this. Just don't attack our towns. Guess what? The Vikings didn't pay attention to that. So history shows that, but you know, we keep telling the Israelis to do it. But anyway, why do we give up? And I'm going to paraphrase real quickly the first... four, because we did them before. One, we give up because it's all about me. In other words, I didn't get what I want. Okay, I'm talking about giving up in the kingdom here. I'm not talking about giving up in life or your job. I'm talking about giving up in the kingdom of God. It didn't give me what I want. Talked about that. Self-condemnation. Because of my failures, you know, I just quit because it's too much to overcome. Then the failures, weaknesses of others, right? If that's an example of a Christian, I don't want to be one. If that's what the church is like, I don't want to go. Because if other people don't have it right either, we get frustrated with that or hurt by that and quit, okay? And then the other part, well, fourth one was, we simply fought the wrong battle. We forgot that it wasn't that person. Let's get real. Many people give up because of people. All right? And so they didn't recognize it wasn't their pet doctrine. It wasn't their preference. And they made it a fight against people. Okay? In the kingdom is what we're talking about here. All right? And so that leaves us to the last reason of why we give up. And then we'll talk about what we need to persevere. And you might not like that. But anyway, okay, the last one is simply hurt. You know, nobody here has ever been hurt in the church, right? Hurt in the kingdom? Nobody, I'm sure. That's probably not happened. Okay. But it usually occurs in one of those other contexts we already talked about. Right? The difficulty thing with that is we become bitter. Hurt makes for bitterness. I was talking to someone the other day that family members hadn't spoke to each other in 3 years. Family, blood family. I don't understand that. That's me. I'm not necessarily judging. I don't know everything about the situation. But I hear bitterness in the two parties. Okay. I hear it all the time as people come to visit our church, all right? And they used to, well, let me tell you in a joke form. It just will make the impact a little better, right? Guy gets stuck on an island, right? Deserted island. And when he comes to get rescued, all right, the people come to rescue him. And there's these buildings here, but there's only one guy, okay? There's three buildings. And so the rescue guys come along and say, hey, what's that over? Oh, that's my house. I built that. What do you think? Oh, nice. Bamboo house, you know. And he said, well, what's that? Oh, that's my church. I got to have a place for worship. Well, what's the third one? He says, oh, that's the church I used to go to. Okay. Man, I hear bitterness when people talk about the church they used to go to. They tell you they're past it, but if you listen close, they're not. Okay, and one of the ways I know that's not the case, because they tend to malign the people that hurt them. Okay, but we put up walls to hurt. Everybody does. We put up walls. We don't like getting hurt because it hurts. That's deep, right? But we put up walls to keep from being hurt, and then we tend to avoid the source of pain, right? You touch the hot stove when you're a little kid, you figure out, well, quick, I'm going to avoid that. The problem is, in the kingdom is people. That is the church. It's people. And so God's bride, the people Christ came to die for, we begin to avoid them because they caused us pain. All right, I've seen it in marriages. I've seen it in families. And a church is a family. But often what this leads to, again, we've hit this a couple times, is pride. You know why, Neva? Because I'd never treat anybody like that. See, I'm better than they are because I wouldn't do that. You understand what I'm saying? Each one of these somewhere ends up being in some kind of pride. Okay, and we end up justifying, all right, our disobedience, our bitterness, our pride, whatever, but making it sound like victories. See, the reason I'm not there, because those people treat each other bad. They're bad people. See, I've got the victory because I'm not there. I really won the battle. I'm not like them. No, I hear it all the time. Well, over there. Do you know over there they believe? And I ask this question, is that an essential? No. So you get up in an uproar because you forget that the kingdom's about people and you've made it about your pet doctrine. And I have mine, but okay, about my pet doctrine. And then I come along and make it sound like I held the high ground. It's a victory for me. I'm not fellowshipping anywhere. I'm not obedient to God's word. But see, I held the high ground. They just didn't quite have it down. Okay, we turn these things. I hear it all the time. They make it sound like it's a good thing. They've disconnected from the kingdom. I've heard it many times. And so we've been deceived, okay? It really comes down to the devil's convinced us the cost isn't worth the victory. The reward isn't worth the fight. All the things that God tells me that comes in the kingdom, working in the kingdom, operating in the kingdom, doing it the kingdom way, that really isn't worth it. And the enemy's convinced us of that because really, God's not telling you the whole truth. It can't be all that. Let me put it this way. Did he really say, don't eat of the... you could be like God. He's holding back. There's something better than God's way. You'll be surprised how in your own life you've convinced yourself of this. You'll be surprised. I'm not going to go into those details, but we have. And so I'll end this section on why we give up. I have to ask this. How have you justified, or have you justified your surrender? That's you and God's the only one who can figure that out. And it might be in various areas. It doesn't necessarily mean coming to church. You don't share Christ anymore. You tried that when you were younger in Christ. And boy, did you get slapped a few times, metaphorically. And it just wasn't worth it, so you stopped. You shared Christ. You used to share Christ with the family. But then they get mad and don't invite you to Thanksgiving because you... Well, you know, the cost just isn't worth. Okay? What brought about your surrender? The opposite here, therefore, in the context of this message, the opposite of surrender is that perseverance. Okay, I think it might be typified, I guess, in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Can I say it like that? In the work of the kingdom. Okay, in the work of the Lord. Knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Knowing there is a reward. Be steadfast. Don't move. Abounding. That means overflowing. In the work of the Lord. Well, I'll just ask you, and only you could tell me that. I mean, only you could tell that. Are you overflowing in your work you do in the kingdom? We don't do it for the Lord. We do it through the Lord. The Lord does it through us. But I want you to understand, before we think about the persevering person, like he glows in the dark, or she, okay? I want you to understand, those who do persevere fail just like everyone else. We learned that with Joshua. He falters. He fails twice in a row in the story just recently that we've read. They do, perseverance people don't have it, always have it right. And I'll tell you what, they sure don't always have the answers. They don't know all the answers to everything, okay? And they have their moments of doubt. The difference is when they do falter, when they don't have the answers, and when they do have the doubt, they keep going. All right? That's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about those other things, all right? And I wrote it down this way, so forgive me for reading it, but I wrote it down this way so I'd get it halfway right. People who persevere are characterized by a person, that's what we see this characterization in our head, of a person who lives life with deliberate purpose from which they will never deter, for in it, that is that purpose, they find fulfillment, joy, and strength. So we might look at Kay, she's not here today, she's well into her 60s, and she just keeps going. Guess what? Kay's not here again. She's doing something. Like she found purpose. And she is unrelenting in the process. Why? And I've talked to her about this. She finds fulfillment and joy in the Lord in walking that out. Even though she'll tell you, sleeping on airport floors in your 60s is not the most comfortable thing. But I want you to understand, before we take some other things apart here, this is a God-given thing. It's not, you've set your mind to it, so you use enough human will and determination, you're there. And that's out of Romans 15:5. May the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ. Do you notice the context of perseverance and encouragement? Yeah, living with other people. That's the context, the body of Christ, who gives perseverance and encouragement, grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ. Each one of those reasons we talk about quit dealt with people. I could do a whole lot, but sometimes you drive me nuts. Metaphorically here, okay, you, in the broad sense. According to 2 Peter 1, 4 through 8, there's these things that we should make every effort to add to our faith. And it goes through a list of things. But one of them is perseverance. It's not, you're actually supposed to pursue, make every effort to. There are several other self-controls in there and other things. But perseverance is one of those things we're supposed to make effort at. We're supposed to pursue it. And then what it says in verse 8 there of 2 Peter 1, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing. See, even in that, I can't just get the one spot. If you have that quality, good. Now it needs to increase. Oh, I thought I'd arrived in Roma. I thought I was there finally. Okay. Increasing numbers, they will keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. These things will keep you from getting nothing done in the kingdom. These things will keep you accomplishing stuff in the kingdom. So I'll suggest to you, and there's particularly three ways or three things God uses to develop perseverance in us. Because we are saved unto good works that's been predestined for us. And if we have these things, perseverance included, we will continue without quitting and we will be effective in the things God has called us to do. He did not save you so you can say you're saved. He didn't save you so someday you could see Uncle Ed and Grandma in heaven. He saved you because he had a purpose for you here. A task, a job. Pick a guy in the Bible. Which guy did God choose and say, here's what I want from you? Nothing. There ain't one guy in the Bible. It's the stories where God calls and moves them to act, to do something. Could God do it without him? Yes. The wonderful part of it is the God, the creator of all things, who could, invites me to participate with him. I get to participate with what he's doing, and he's called me to that. So number one thing God uses, not necessarily a priority, but just number one in my message, okay? God uses to develop perseverance in his Romans chapter 5. Starting in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Everybody says, yeah, I rejoice in that. Let me keep reading. More than that, did you catch that? More than that, we rejoice in our tribulation. No, I don't. We rejoice in our tribulation, knowing, confident, that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. Maybe I suggest some people don't have proven character because they haven't learned to persevere yet. And proven character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame or disappoint, depends on which version you're in, because God's love has been poured out into the hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. I want you to understand who's writing, we rejoice in our tribulation. Paul. Now, if I took you to 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 11, listen to this. Five times he was whipped with 39 stripes. Three times beaten with rods. Three times shipwrecked. Stoned once. Okay, not in the Oregon, Washington, Colorado sense. This guy who's been through, and he goes on to list hunger and sleeplessness, and this guy says, we rejoice in our tribulation. He doesn't say, we rejoice in our tribulation because the car broke down. Well, that is the second car. We rejoice because the dishwasher broke down. I actually have to wash dishes by hand. See, sometimes what we think is tribulation isn't. But listen, this is the guy who's saying, You rejoice at getting beat with a rod? How many want to sign up for that? I'll bring a rod next week. No. Huh? Give you the ministry of it, okay. Yeah, nobody wants to be the other side of it. All right? I don't know about you, but one of the ways I never wanted to go was in a shipwreck. I don't like the idea of drowning. So, you know, Bob was in the Navy. I'm going, not me. Put me on the ground where they just shoot at me, I'd be okay. All right, but I don't fall into the water and try to have sharks eat me or something. That's just one. But he's shipwrecked 3 times. People threw rocks at him and left him for dead. And I rejoice in my tribulation. What? There are 2 Greek words that in your Bible are translated endure, patience, perseverance. And the only difference is the ending. One wins in an omicron, an O sound. Hupomono. The other is hupomone. 2 words. So that first one, lens in the O, I know you don't need to remember it, but sort of endure with patience. Hang in there, wait it out. But hupomone, which is used here by Paul, is cheerful endurance. You can look it up in Strong's yourself. I didn't make that up. Cheerful, hopeful endurance. It's used 5 times in the book of Revelation. Those who persevere to the end. Not those who just make it. Who hang on to the end of the rope till finally Jesus comes back. No. Cheerful, hopeful endurance in Revelation 5 times. You see the 2 contrasts, by the way, if you go to James 5:11, you'll see the word endure used twice. It's both of those words in one phrase, okay? It is used of Job in James 5. Right? But I think the best way that sort of articulates the concept of hupomone is James 1:2-4. You've heard it before. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, difficulties, struggles, depends on what version you have, knowing that the testing of your faith, notice what it is, notice what the trial is. It's a test of your faith, not of God's faithfulness. The test of your faith produces cheerful, hopeful endurance, perseverance. And let perseverance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God, take care of my lack. Okay, I don't know if the Word of Faith people really see it that way. Okay. So it's not perseverance in this sense, hupomone, is not hanging on to the end of the rope waiting for the rescuers to come. All right? It's continuing to climb up the rope with joy and expectant hope. It is action moved by an inner attitude that finds its strength in Christ. It's moving forward when it makes no sense to move forward. In when you use non-biblical literature, you can look at this word and see how it's used. One of the ways it's used is speaking of a sword's ability to take blows. So I'm fighting you with a sword, and my sword doesn't break, yours does. It's used in that context. I'm going to ask you a question. How does a sword get that strong? Tempering. Fire.
Water.
Fire.
Water.
If you know, that's how they temper metal. From fire to water. From tribulation, okay? They've actually used it in that word of a sword. Let me ask you a question. When the fight's on, does your sword break? Okay. So that first one is God uses struggles. We don't like that. Especially when you combine it with the next one, time. He fought 7 years. Now, I know we have and we honor those who have been deployed in the military to fight war more than once. They've been there the 3rd tour, 2nd tour, whatever. But could you imagine if the tour was 7 years? Anybody know what's the average tour of our guys? Does anybody know?
1 year.
1 year? So you get a year, and then you come home for a while, and then do you have to volunteer to go back, or do they send you back? Okay, both? Yeah, okay, because Is Tim at drill this week?
Yeah.
Say, okay, so Tim's not here. But that's, we know that after a year in battle, it starts to wane even on the psyche of a guy trained for war. Right? And let's say he's logistics. He's not fighting every day. A year he gets to come home. Joshua did it for 7 years. You know, when you come home, you could lay down, besides the nightmares maybe, but you can lay down and nobody's going to come shoot you. You know, it depends on where you live, all right? But realize, for 7 years, the Israelites, there were guys who didn't sleep at night, and probably half of them slept with one eye open. And if they have wives like our wives, they were worried about their husbands, so they slept with one eye open. Or their sons. Time. It's that, are we there yet? Come on, you've been in the car, right? Are we there yet? For them, the child in the back, just suffering misery. I mean, I don't have my Xbox. I don't have my friends. And are we there yet? Don't ask that again. I'll let you know when we're there. Oh, I'm sure you've never done that. But this idea of time, we're not comfortable. If Christmas could last all year, how about Christmas shopping? How about putting away the decoration? How about if that lasted all year? You know, I try to get my shopping done early, so even before Thanksgiving, so I got to do the crazy stuff, all right? Time. We don't like the idea that, and especially when you include it with the first one, he uses trial, suffering, difficulty, and time. Oh, I could deal with maybe trial and suffering, but when you add time to that, I don't want to go through a long time or even a medium time of suffering and difficulty. But by definition, perseverance has to take time.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.